Today's Bible reading comes from Acts chapter 1, verse 1. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote all about that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven."
Good morning, everyone. It's great to see everyone here today. Great to see some familiar faces and some faces who haven't been here for a while. So a special welcome to you if you've come maybe last time that you came might have been a while ago. So it's great that we can actually come together, especially as we start also looking at a new series, working our way through the book of Acts. Acts is a brilliant book, and I hope we get a lot out of it as we work our way through it over this term. And we're going to, I think, hit it again in term 4. So we're sort of splitting it into two so that we can work our way through Acts and chuck in Galatians in between is the plan. Why don't we pray as we look at God's word together? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we give you great thanks that we can come together and to read our way through Acts. And we pray, Father, that as we do so, that you'll help us to be excited to see that you are a God who's at work back then as well as today. And as we see you at work, Father, we pray that we might get beside you and see what you would have us do as your church. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, that question that we start off with, the discussion question: have you ever followed a TV show or you've read a book that you've been totally engrossed in, and all of a sudden you get to the end of it, and it's kind of like there's a hole left in your life as a result of it because you've been that caught up with it? I know this is a relatively specific taste, but Dawn and I were addicted to a show called The West Wing. Yeah, not too much of a response. The 9:30 service had more of a response to The West Wing. It does appear on a number of lists of the greatest shows of all time. So we are not alone in this. If you haven't heard of it, write that down. It's worthwhile to watch through. It follows the drama of The West Wing, which happens in the American White House. You know, the real life dramas today might be maybe more dramatic, but this was, I think, more entertaining. The president back then is Jed Bartlett, played by Martin Sheen. And he's surrounded by his senior staff. You know, he's actually literally surrounded there. And it shows the banter between the staff members. It shows their humor, their intelligence. And a lot of times as they grapple with real world issues, things like terrorism and war and education, they even made up a fake country called Kumar to deal with the topic of terrorism. And they had to make it up, because as they went through the show, other countries and people would watch this show, and apparently some of the embassies got a little bit upset if it misrepresented their country. They'd write letters to the producers to actually complain. So this was a show which had a lot of traction. And Dawn and I were a little bit late to the scene, and so we didn't follow it on TV. We watched it on, we bought the DVD box set. We watched 7 seasons, 156 episodes. This was our date night material, the thing that we sort of went to as our go-to. We'd come home from work. This was before we had kids. We'd get everything ready. We'd cook dinner, and then we'd sit down, you know, cozy on the couch, and turn on The West Wing. If we were especially indulgent, we'd watch 2 episodes, maybe 3 if we're being naughty, you know, going late at night. But then after 156 dramatic episodes, it was over. It was finished. It was done. We got to the end of watching Jed and Josh Lyman and CJ Craig and they were gone. And the question was, what's next? You know, what do we do with our lives now that we have it back? What are we going to do with ourselves? There was this hole that was left. Have you ever followed a series like that? Maybe My Kitchen Rules, where the finale's on tonight. Maybe it's Survivor. Maybe it's a book like the Harry Potter series or Lord of the Rings. There's something which draws you in. There's an exciting plot and it feels like you're part of it. You get to the end and you think, what's next? What do I do with myself? And that's a little bit like the Gospel of Luke, the third gospel in the New Testament. Reading it for the first time, especially back then, it's been all about Jesus, the amazing things that he did. Imagine reading it for the first time, the amazing things that he said. Here is somebody who is special. He died and he came back to life again. And then at the end of Luke, he goes back to heaven. And the question is, coming to the end of the greatest story ever written, what do we do with ourselves? What do we do with all this that we've been reading? Yeah, even for us, yeah, it can be a little bit like that. It's been 2 weeks since Easter. 2 weeks since all those events in Luke's gospel, his life, his death, his resurrection. And after 2 weeks, everything gets back to normal. We're back at work. Kids are back at school. The traffic's the same. You know, everything's been ramping up. Everything's been so busy leading up to Easter, the death and resurrection of Jesus. And then it goes back to normal. And everything goes quiet. And it feels like church goes into cruise control until maybe it gets to Christmas time. Then we ramp up again. But everything in between now and when Jesus comes again, maybe it feels like cruise control. We know heaven's going to come, but that's somewhere down the track. And so life now is full of all these other things to keep us busy. There's bills to pay. There's jobs to do. There's work and school and relationships. Kids, grandkids, what are we meant to do? What's next after all those events that took place in Easter? And the answer God gives us is Acts chapter 1. That's actually the passage that was read out for us. Acts is the sequel. It's book number 2. This is what comes next after the Gospel of Luke. It's written by Luke and it goes from the story of Jesus to the story of the church. It goes from the Jesus story to the church story. And we find out, as we will look at over the next few weeks, this is actually our story because we are the church. Acts chapter 1, the passage that was read, we're just looking at the first 11 verses today. It says two things to the church. It says two things to us. Jesus says to us, he says, you are commissioned. You are empowered. Two things. Let me pick it up in verse 1. If you've got the Bibles open in front of you, that'd be great. If you have any questions that come up, write them down. Let me read verse 1. Acts chapter 1. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. Like any good sequel, Acts starts with a recap, you know, in the previous episode, and then he goes for it. Straight away, Luke tells us the Easter message. Jesus died on a cross. It happened. The Romans nailed him there. But he came back to life again. And it's not wishful thinking. It's not a hallucination. He proved it. He showed himself, not just once or twice, but many times over 40 days. And when he was with the disciples, he taught them. Verse 4. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, Jesus gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days, you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now for the disciples, that word, the Holy Spirit, it's a trigger word. It's really important. It's like with our kids. Well, when they hear the word cake, you know, their eyes light up. You know, Dawn and I might be chatting and they hear us and they come to the kitchen just to check if we've got any cake. You know, their eyes light up when they hear that word. With the disciples, when they hear the word Holy Spirit, their eyes light up. Because in the Old Testament, in passages like Ezekiel 36 or Joel chapter 2, there are passages which talk about the Holy Spirit and a golden age which is going to come, the kingdom of God. And so when Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit, the disciples, they're excited. It's like when you go to a wedding and you know, everything goes quiet. Or you're in the cinemas and the lights turn down. It means it's about to start. And so for the disciples, the Holy Spirit means that God's kingdom, this new age of God's blessing, it's coming. It's going to start any moment. And so that's why they ask that question in verse 6. They say to Jesus, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Now, I love the disciples. They're proof, they're living proof that God is gracious and that he can use anyone to fulfill his purposes. Because even though they've been with Jesus for 3 years, even though Jesus has appeared to them back from the dead and he's been teaching them for the past 6 weeks, even though he's the best Bible teacher in all of human history, they still don't get it. They had two problems. Their first problem was that they had a timing issue. Jesus says to them in verse 7, it's not for you to know the time or dates the Father has set by his own authority. You see, the Jews thought that when God's king came, the Holy Spirit and God's kingdom, it was all going to happen all at once. You know, all those things, it was going to happen straight away on the day of the Lord. They thought, okay, the king's here. Holy Spirit's going to happen, God's kingdom, bang. And Jesus says, don't worry about the time. Don't worry about the time. When the kingdom comes, when everything's going to happen, when you are going to be taken up to heaven, that's for God to know. Don't worry about the time. They had a timing issue, but the second problem that they had was that they were thinking too small. They had a scale problem. God was going to restore Israel. They were right there. There was going to be a king again in the nation of Israel, but that was too small. It wasn't enough. God doesn't just want to save Israel. God wants to save the world. Do you see what Jesus says in verse 8? How big God's plan is. Take a look at verse 8. Jesus says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. This is one of the key verses in the book of Acts. We're going to come back to it over the next few weeks. We'll see how Acts chapter 1 verse 8 actually sort of gives the structure to the rest of the book of Acts. But for the moment, I just want you to see the scale, the size, the magnitude of what God is doing here. There's a map behind me. Let me, Jack's going to the next one. Jerusalem is the capital, which is where they're at the moment. The gospel is going to go out to Judea, which is the province that they're in. And it's going to go to Samaria, which is above it. It's like New South Wales and Queensland. This is the kingdom of God in the Old Testament. But that's too small. It's not enough for the gospel to go out just to Israel. Do you see where God wants the gospel to go? Where the disciples are to be witnesses for Jesus? Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria, to the ends of the earth. The disciples weren't wrong. They were just thinking too small. They wanted to save Israel, but God wants to save the world. And Jesus commissions the disciples, his church, to be part of it. To go and save the world. Now I wonder, you know, what's our vision for Grace? For Grace Anglican Church? Maybe it's to be a church where we are built up, where we can feel comfortable and accepted. Yeah, and that's a good thing, right? Maybe that's our vision, what we want for Grace Anglican Church. Maybe it's to be a place where we can make friends. We can get to know other people. We can get to know them deeply. Maybe it's a place where you'll hear the Bible being taught and you're encouraged in your Christian life. Now, all those things are good. But if that's your vision for Grace, it's too small. That is way too small. Because God's heart isn't just for the people here sitting each week. God's heart is for Roseville and Chatswood. God's heart is for our friends and our family and our workmates who don't know Jesus. Here is the commission that God gives to his church. This is the job God gives to his church. Where does he want the gospel to go out? Where does he want us to be his witnesses? Yeah, by yourself at home? Yeah, it's possible to be a Christian by yourself. Is that where God wants us to be? Is it to be when it's easy? When it doesn't cost me anything and it's kind of comfortable to turn up to church on Sundays? That's too small. Where does God want us to go? He wants us to go to the ends of the earth. He wants us to actually leave this building and to go bring the gospel wherever we happen to be. Grace Anglican has been going for 2.5 years now. There's been a lot of good things that have been happening. The Bible's being preached. Small groups are happening. We've got 8 of them. People have been coming to church. The Sunday school is great. Can I ask you, yeah, whether you're here at the beginning or maybe you've been coming ever since, maybe along the way, are we just as passionate as we were back then to tell people about Jesus? Do we invite people to church? Or have we given up? Have we think church is comfortable? There's enough people. I don't have to do that anymore. This year, who are you? Who have you been reaching out to? You know, that's actually it's a hard question, isn't it? To ask that question. Are you reaching out to somebody at the moment deliberately with the gospel? You know, this passage forces us to check ourselves. Are we doing that? Let me give you a few suggestions about what that could look like if we understand the commission that God's given his church. I've just written up there, come, pray, think. Maybe it's to come to the evangelism training course that we're running later this term. You know, that you don't know how to do that, and so you actually want to be trained up so that you can actually share this faith that you have a little bit clearer, maybe a little bit better, to have a bit more confidence. Come along to that. Yeah, send me an email, send me a WhatsApp, say that you're interested so that, you know, you can come along and be trained up to do this job that God's given us. Can I encourage you to pray? Pray for yourself. Pray for your friends. Pray for me, that I'll be actually somebody who actually wants to share about Jesus to the people around me. Last one, to think. Think about who you can reach out to and what that's going to look like. You know, evangelism is not one of those things. It's not like catching the cold. You just fall into it. You know, evangelism is something that you have to think about and be intentional about. There's so many opportunities around us. We need to be deliberate about taking those opportunities up. Catch up with somebody for lunch. Later this year, we're going to have a number of different events that's going to be easy for us to invite our non-Christian friends along to. We'll find out more about that next week. Maybe you find that you're just too busy. You're too busy with study or work or kids or computer games that actually reaching out to people is kind of somewhere down the list. It gets squeezed out. God sends every one of us to be his witnesses to the ends of the earth. That is where God is sending us. Will you be part of it? Commissioned and empowered. Jesus commissions the church and he empowers the church. Now, I don't know, as I was saying about what God's job is that he's given to the church, I suspect there's some people who's sitting here who hear that commission and they think, yep, I'm on board, let's go for it. I'm up for it. You know, the people who are gung-ho are keen to go for it. But I suspect there's a lot of people here who think, do I have to? Can't somebody else do it? You know, there's so many other things that I'm doing. I might even be involved in ministry. Or my work is so flat out at the moment. A lot of us, I think, find telling people about Jesus, we find it hard. or we find telling people about Jesus, it's scary. You know, can you imagine the disciples? There's 11 of them. And they just saw Jesus being killed 6 weeks ago. And if they did that to Jesus, what are they going to do to us? And Jesus is saying, you are going to be my witnesses, not to Jerusalem. That's too comfortable. I'm sending you to the ends of the earth. I want you to go to Spain and to Rome and to Russia and to Australia. And remember, these guys, they're fishermen. They're not Bible-trained professionals. They're not university-trained accountants, whatever it happens to be. They're tax collectors. And Jesus is entrusting the mission of the gospel to these guys. But that's why verse 8 is so important. That's why Jesus says in verse 8, he says this to them, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Jesus is saying, I'm not just giving you a mission. I'm giving you everything you need to do that mission. The word power in Greek is dunamis. It's where we get our word dynamite from. God gives us his dynamite. God equips, he energizes, he enables, he empowers us because the Holy Spirit is God's power for mission. Eva is our 4-year-old daughter. She's not here today because she's a bit sick. Even when she was 12 months old, actually when she was 6 months old, she could run as fast as any adult. She could jump 2 meters at a time, even at such a small age. She could take off and her little legs are pumping in the air because I'd carry her off the ground and I'd run with her. She could run like the wind. She could leap over buildings of Lego in a single leap. By herself, it's impossible. It was impossible. But if I'm there, if I'm carrying her, she can do amazing things. That's what God does for us. If it was up to the disciples, if it was up to the church, this mission of the gospel going to the ends of the earth, it's doomed to fail. It's impossible. But if God is there, if he is the one who's carrying us, if the Holy Spirit is working in us, the gospel is unstoppable. We can do amazing things because God is with us. We'll see in a couple of weeks, Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, the disciples, they are filled with the Holy Spirit, just as Jesus promises here. And Peter in Acts chapter 2, he stands up in front of a crowd and he preaches that Jesus Christ is Lord and Christ. He is the King. And this is the same Peter who 3 times denied Jesus. I don't know Jesus. I don't know who he is. You've got him mixed up. This is the same Peter who locked himself up with the rest of the disciples in a room because he was scared of the Jews. And in Acts chapter 2, he says to the crowd, he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus. This is Peter, changed and powered by God's Spirit. And this is not something which has left 2,000 years ago. It's the same for us. Because Peter says, repent and be baptized and receive the Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit that Peter had. The same Holy Spirit that Paul had and the rest of the disciples is the same Holy Spirit that we have, which is God's power to preach, even when it's hard, even when we're weak. Just like a student when I was studying in university, I was part of a tutorial group and science and religion was a topic, it was a gen ed subject. This student, she was a Christian. She didn't have the best arguments. When she talked about her faith, she didn't have the best answers. Actually, she was a little bit embarrassing by the things that she said. I remember being a bit embarrassed, but, oh, do you have to say that? You know, sometimes when you cringe a little bit. And I remember talking to another student who wasn't a Christian. She was an engineer. Engineers, you know, those brains that are thinking logically and those pathways. And this engineering student was thoroughly impressed by that Christian. Because when I was talking to her, she said she was amazed by how real God was for her. And that was a moment that God humbled me. And it reminds me of what we actually see here, that Christian in that group, she had the Holy Spirit. Didn't have the best answers, but she spoke about Jesus. and that was enough. Or the Bible study group that's been started coming out of playgroup, where there's three mums who have been reading the Bible just because they're asked, do you want to read the Bible? It's not rocket science, is it? Who knows where that group's going to end up? We don't know how long that group's going to go for, but that's great, isn't it? That they get to hear about Jesus. The Holy Spirit at work in us. Or at board games. That's happening later today. It's the last Sunday of every month. Last time they stayed back till 2 o'clock in the morning. Along the way, they got to talk about Jesus and about the church. Now, I'm not saying if you have to go to board games, you have to stay back till 2 o'clock, right? That's an optional extra. But the opportunities that we have, you know, one-to-ones, the lunch catch-up where you just invite somebody from work out for lunch one time. The conversations that you have with the school mum or with a person who used to go to church, you might not be the greatest speaker in the world. You might not have all the answers, but what you do have, if you're a Christian, is better than that. You have the Holy Spirit. You have God's power at work. You have God's power for mission. And because of that, we speak to anyone and everyone about the Lord Jesus Christ. Timid, maybe. Scared, yes. But we speak powerfully. I don't know which TV shows you watch. I don't know which books you read. I'm sure you've had this experience. Sometimes you get to the end of those things and it's disappointing the way that they end. Now, I've never watched this show. I'm not recommending that you watch it. But I do like, as I was reading up on this, how The Sopranos ended. Apparently, in the final scene, after 8 years of this series, Tony Soprano, who's the main character, he's having dinner with his family. Everything's been building up to this point. And just when you get the feeling that somebody might kill him, the screen goes black. There's no sound. And people thought that their TVs were broken. And some people even called the cable company to complain that their cable signal had dropped out. And then the credits started to roll. A lot of people were really disappointed by the ending. How does it end there? It just goes black. We've just started looking at the book of Acts. If it was up to you, how would you end this book? How would you finish it? Because in a sense, actually, this book of Acts, it's still going. It's a story about the church. It's a story about God's church. It's a story about us. How the gospel went out and how the gospel is still going out. If you could write the chapter for Grace, what would you write? Would you write, sorry, there's a picture of Barney's there. Grace is in the other one that I sort of didn't download. What would you write for the chapter that goes under Barney's All Grace? You know, if you could actually write a book and it's talking about, you know, we tacked on Acts chapter 29. Not that I'd recommend you do that, but if there's another chapter which described our church, what would you write there? Would you write that it was a church which was so exciting at the start and then it became comfortable? We got complacent. Would you write that it's a church where you were encouraged, where people were nice? I hope it is. But maybe that's too small. Wouldn't it be great if right underneath that chapter heading which said Grace Anglican Church, that it said that this was a church full of Christians that were commissioned and empowered by God? That the people sitting there were people who went out into their daily lives, into their workplaces, into their school spaces, whatever it happens to be, and they were God's witnesses to the ends of the earth. Wouldn't that be great? What is it that God is putting on your heart this morning? Maybe church has become too small. Maybe you've gotten too comfortable. Maybe we need to rekindle that fire again to make Jesus known. Will you do that? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we give you great thanks that you are a God who is at work in the world. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, that he would die and come back to life again, and that because of what he did for us on the cross, we have forgiveness, and you draw us together to be your people. You draw us together to be your church. Father, we pray that as we read Acts chapter 1 and as we keep working our way through Acts, Help us to know that this is our story. Help us to know that you have commissioned us and empowered us for mission. We pray, Lord, that you help us to work out whatever that looks like, whatever that might be in our life stage, our situation. Lord, if we have become complacent, we pray that we will repent and that your Holy Spirit will be working in us to convict us of that. Father, we ask that whatever it is, that we don't leave your word sitting here in this building, but we take it with us and we want to make Jesus known. And we ask this in his name. Amen.